Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Friday. Thanks for being with us. We are getting you ready for Texas A&M and Arizona State tomorrow. Doug Haller from AZ Central Sports covers Arizona State inside and out. Very, very good at what he does. We'll have Doug Haller with us on the road. I think he's actually in a layover in El Paso. Nothing like being in El Paso to kill a few hours. No offense to those of you in El Paso. I'd rather have a layover than stay there. So there. Now you can be mad at me. We will also have Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas. I think it's time to do Jimmy every week now. All the odds from the wisest of the wise guys coming up on 40 years that he's been setting the lines in Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us. We'll look at the college football weekend and also on the NFL front now that these preseason games are almost finished. Let's get you caught up. Things on my mind in the world of sports now, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Yesterday, it was my Santan Ford running around in my Ford Fusion. The 2016 Ford Fusion, for me, makes a lot of sense. I've gone from Fusion to Fusion, including the hybrid. And when I go do business, I pull up, people say, that is a slick-looking ride. How do you fit in it? Well, I'm 6'8". I've got to have that multi-seat direction that I can go. I can go up, down, sideways, left, right. However it is I want to fit in the vehicle, that's how I do it from Santan Ford with the Fusion. My wife drives the Explorer, a certified pre-owned Explorer from Santan Ford. We had four kids at one point in time in our house, and we're into soccer games and swim meets and basketball. All those things that you do, we're in that space in life. Three of them are now out of the house. We've got one left. So we didn't need that big vehicle, but I'll tell you, that Expedition, 180,000 miles we rolled up on it. It was time. I went over to Tim and said, what do you have in the certified pre-owned lot? And we got ourselves a certified pre-owned Explorer that makes a lot of sense for my wife as she drives in her busy day in and day out duties. From Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford, where General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it upright, corporately involved, civically involved. And yeah, they're big into sports too at Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Okay, Doug Haller here in about 10 minutes, where we'll get into the ASU game, finally, against Texas A&M. So the Cardinal game last night, let's start there. And I did watch, and I was really impressed with Chris Johnson last night. I get it that he's running against guys, for the most part, that are not going to be playing in the National Football League, but it doesn't matter. A guy has burst, and a guy can find a hole. Chris Johnson played very well, I thought, for the Arizona Cardinals last night. He ran hard. He had a 16-yard game, showed great burst, 11 carries for 45 yards. So for him, it was just getting some reps and showing that he's got something there. I feel better about seeing Chris Johnson get some sort of work, and he was able to do that last night for the Cardinals, and I thought that was a real positive. You know, Sean Weatherspoon was out on the field last night. He missed all of last year with a torn Achilles. By that, Sean Weatherspoon did some nice things as well. Again, I don't care about final scores. I don't. None of you are going to care a week from now when you're getting ready for the Saints. It was just a glorified scrimmage in Denver. It's fine. Most of the starters didn't even bother to play. And so now we have that behind us. What do you take away from preseason if you're an Arizona Cardinal fan? The offensive line was disappointing. There's been some injuries. I felt like a guy like Jerron Brown, not John Brown, but Jerron Brown did not have a great preseason to start with. I thought last night he played better. What are the question marks on this team? It really is going to come down to, there's not a more valuable player in the NFL. If we were doing the MVP of the NFL right now, for the Arizona Cardinals, it has to be Carson Palmer. It's going to become tiresome for you to hear, but if he plays, they're going to win. They've got enough defensively. They do. Now, injuries can wreck any team's season. But if Carson is out there for 11, 12, 13 games, they're going to have a big year. They will. Because it means if he's out there, he's not getting hit, which means the running game gave them or is giving them something along the way. It means that their offensive line finally figured it out. I hate the word gelled, but they finally figured it out. If Carson Palmer is out there for more than 10 games, it means that the offensive line was able to give him time. If he's out there for less than that, then it's what we thought. This is going to be a very disappointing season. If he gets crushed, I can't see Drew Stanton not going through the same sort of punishment that Carson Palmer would go through. Yeah, he could have a rollout and the knee could blow at any point in time. I get it. But if Drew Stanton has to start 12, 14, 16 games, can he be the guy to do what Carson Palmer is able to do? It's no disrespect towards Drew Stanton. It's just Carson Palmer is Carson Palmer. Not that hard to figure out. So that's on my mind. And I'm glad that preseason is over. And you know, Chandler Cannon, Zeride, some people sending me notes last night. Are you concerned about this? Do they need to look for a kicker? Come on. Please put down whatever it was that you were ingesting during the game. Just walk away from it. It's all right. Catman's fine. Darnell Dockett got released today. So, of course, when you hear that Darnell Dockett gets blown out up in San Francisco, there's a couple things there. Darnell Dockett got $2 million guaranteed from the 49ers. $2 million. And they still cut him. So if you're going to pay somebody that much money and you guarantee that much money and then you still blow them out, it means I don't think there's anything left in the gas tank for Darnell Dockett if I'm the 49ers. The 49ers just looked at it and said, we're better off getting out from under this $2 million nut and see you later and move on. Now, have there been people already this morning? What do you think, Brad? Should they bring back Darnell Dockett? I don't think the defensive front is anything that I'm that concerned about. Now, as the season progresses and injuries happen, and injuries will happen, I don't know if he sold his house out in Chandler. We used to be neighbors, not like next door neighbors. I'm not in that high rent district, but I could hit his house with a lob wedge. Might take me 10 or 12 tries at it, but I'd be able to hit it, as big a house as it was. But that's a name that's interesting as the season goes on. If you're looking for depth, unless it's just, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm out of here. So Darnell Dockett gets released today. Still a lot of buzz over the Tom Brady situation, and everybody wants Roger Goodell's head, and rightly so. I've never seen a sports league, through doing this for so many years, to have so much turmoil, and yet the average fan doesn't care. You don't care. It's kind of like, just give me my sport, and I don't care what goes on with concussions. I don't care what goes on with Ray Rice. I don't care what goes on with Adrian Peterson. I don't care what goes on with Greg Hardy. I don't care how he goes after Tom Brady. But if I'm an employee of the NFL on the field, if I'm one of the players, and I've got my NFL PA sitting here, but if the NFL decides that we're going to go after Tom Brady over error in footballs, and a judge just looks at the NFL and shakes his head and said, are you guys joking? Then if I'm any other employee that's on the field strapping it up, I have to look at it and say, dang, these people just don't care. Because if they're going to go after Tom Brady, then what's to prevent them from going after me? So this story, now we can talk football. Now we can talk fantasy and how much is Brady going to play and what type of fantasy quarterback. And Jimmy Garoppolo's career is now a footnote. It's over. But there's ramifications from this. I want to take some time and talk about in more depth. I'm big on context on this. So not going to be on today's show, but I think this next week gets going with the Patriots game. I'm going to take a segment or so on this one. I watched the U of A game last night. I don't know about you. I have cable still for a reason because I need to see the Pac-12 network, and DirecTV hasn't figured it out. I got all sorts of monitors here in the studios that have DirecTV on them. But in my office, I need to see what's going on. So I watched the game last night, and it was jumpy, which I didn't like. The picture would freeze. I don't know if you guys watch it as well, all 16 of us that still have cable. So it was kind of hard to watch. The game itself, Scooby Wright injures his knee in the first quarter. For Scooby Wright to go down and to be on crutches and street clothes, this is the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. Now, Bruce Feldman tweeted out earlier in the last hour, one of the best in the business in college football end of things, and Dennis Dodd too, that Rich Rod doesn't think Scooby Wright's injury is an ACL or an MCL. Scooby Wright is having an MRI today. And maybe as the show progresses, some of the insiders within the college football scene, Dennis Dodd put left knee injury not expected to be season ending. So that's very good because, of course, as we've talked about with U of A, they have no bye week. So next week you may look at as the bye because they have to go to Nevada, but it makes the Nevada game that much more interesting. Beyond that, they weren't very good last night. U of A was not very clean last night. Anu Solomon had 4 touchdown passes. The defense had a couple of scores. Devontae Neal blocked a field goal. So there were things to like, but it was a very typical first game where there's mistakes all over the place. There's a lot that needs to be cleaned up. The game was in doubt, even with about 5 minutes to go. Even as Solomon was driving down the field to finish it off, the game was in doubt in my mind. So now they have Nevada next up. 1-0, get it out of the way, learn from it. You lose Scooby Wright. I don't think he plays next week. There's no reason to have him play next week. If you're on crutches, you're just not going to play. So we'll know the extent of the injuries. I watched Utah beat Michigan, and Harbaugh's just got to do the, here's how this usually works. Coach comes in his first year, and it's really rough early, like really rough. And he's got to figure out some of these guys that still haven't bought into him, or some guys that can't play, or figure out who his quarterback is in the case of Jim Harbaugh. But for this discussion, this is about Utah. So for everybody that wants ASU and is picking ASU, and most everybody's picking either USC, UCLA, or Arizona State to win the Pac-12 South, Utah's been picked to finish fourth, fifth, behind U of A even. I don't know, as you're watching the game last night, to me, it just spoke to how good the Pac-12 South is, how tough the Pac-12 South is. Michigan is in a conference that does not have very many difficult teams, in my opinion. Their schedule really smooths out. You have the Ohio State, you have the Ohio State program, but you look top to bottom. I was watching some of Minnesota TCU last night just because Eric's a TCU guy. I was giving him a hard time, but really top to bottom, Utah put on an impressive display last night. And when you're looking at tomorrow night's game with Arizona State, we'll talk to Doug Howell here in a couple of minutes about it. Arizona State's in an SEC matchup tomorrow night. The Pac-12 showed very, very well last night. And a very impressive performance, I thought, by Utah, even though the game's at home. Very impressive. And then Northern Arizona's on the road at number 24, Stephen F. Austin. So, you know, we look at all the college football stuff that's going on. Diamondbacks are in Chicago this weekend. Paul Goldschmidt should be back with them. That's some of what is on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. On the other side, Doug Howler scheduled to join us from an airport in El Paso on his way to Houston to be with Arizona State football. That's next. As we continue on, then Jimmy Vaccaro in about 10 minutes. Eric Sorensen is going to Houston to be with ASU as well. He'll have plenty of content. He will have plenty of social media if you've not followed Eric. And tonight we'll all be out at high school football games with our hashtag Friday Night 360AZ. So we'll have that too. Stay with us.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
All right, so Arizona State, they are in Houston. They'll have their walkthrough today, and the game is tomorrow afternoon. Eric is flying down to Houston as well, as is Doug Howler and Paula Bovin from AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com. Cardinal insider is Kent Summers, the Arizona State insider, is Doug Howler. Doug joins us from beautiful, palatial El Paso on a layover to Houston. All right, so let's get right off the top here. Arizona State will win the Pac-12 South if this player performs at the highest level. Now, the easy answer is Berkovici. And if you're going to go that way, it's fine. It's fine. What's your answer?
The easy answer on offense is Berkovici, Brad, just because obviously he plays the most important position, but also there is a tremendous drop-off at this point between Mike and the three guys backing him up in Manny Book, Bryce Perkins, and Brady White. But defensively, it's Laiu Mokiola, the spur linebacker, and I think we saw some glimpses of this last year. Laiu never really was out a substantial period of time with injuries, but he was banged up right during the middle part of that season, again against Arizona, and it seemed like every time Laiu stepped off the field, you could just start the countdown that a big play was gonna follow, and that's what happened. He plays a position that's very vital for communication reasons on defense. He's just kind of the glue that holds them together. If he goes down, I think they're going to struggle defensively.
Biggest question offensively in your mind?
Well, I think you have to start with the tackles. Two new tackles there, and it's not so much that they lost that those are new guys, but you're replacing a guy in Jameel Douglas who was an all Pac-12 player. And you have Evan Goodman, who they've been kind of waiting on to come around. They actually think he's more athletic than Jameel Douglas, but he just hasn't you know, seize the moment. They gave him strong looks to see if he was ready to start the last two seasons, and they just did not think he was ready. So he's going to start at left tackle, and then Billy McGee, a junior college transfer who, you know, really has only played in jumbo packages, and when the previous starter lost his helmet, he would run on the field for a play or two. He's on the other side, and, you know, to start the game, the season off, not only against Texas A&M, who has a very talented pass rusher, Myles Garrett, but you're going to have a lot of screaming fans in your ear, and that's really a bad combination for two new tackles.
Doug Haller on the road with Arizona State. He's on a layover for a couple of minutes as he heads down to Houston. AZ Central Sports, Arizona State, and College Football Insider. Biggest question defensively?
Well, it's the big plays, because that hurt them all last year in all three of their losses. But, you know, just to simplify that a little bit more, will that defensive front be able to generate a pass rush? As we all know, Ty Graham is going to impact quarterback no matter what. And if he can't get it out of his defensive lineman in that devil backer position, then he's going to send his corners, he's going to send his safeties, he's going to send his linebackers, and that leaves them vulnerable to big plays. If they can get a consistent pass rush out of that front group, and that's something that they kind of struggled with last year, then that makes it easier on the back end. It makes it easier for everybody, and they could play a little bit more straight up instead of having to blitz all the time.
Is it fair to say that if we get into the week of Arizona and Arizona State, and neither one of these teams are playing for the Pac-12 South, then it's been a tremendously disappointing season in this state? I mean, for many years, and you know the numbers before last year's game, the game didn't mean anything in terms of standings. All it was a nice little game that people termed a rivalry. A rivalry is, to me, when both teams are really good and both teams have high aspirations and high goals. So the setup for this year is, if you get to the third week in November and both teams are sitting there in the middle of the Pac-12, in my mind, it's a disappointing season.
Yeah, I would say disappointing. I wouldn't say tremendously disappointing, but I would say disappointing simply because, you know, the last 2 years, the Pac-12 South has been settled in this state, in Arizona. I think both programs have reached a point where they've gotten their own players. They've had a chance to address any shortcomings that they were left with. They're ready. They're at that level where they should be able to compete. The only thing that makes me pause a little bit is just because the South should be brutal, you know, with what UCLA has, with what USC has.
So Utah last night. Yeah,
and that's a team that everyone forgets about. So who knows how it's always going to be, how it's going to unfold. But if we reach that game and Arizona is not in position to win the South, and ASU is not in position to win the South, then I would say, yeah, that's disappointing, just given on where they stand with their programs.
Okay, so on the recruiting end of this game, a lot's been made out of that. Is it being overstated? Quaylen Cunningham goes there. Christian Kirk goes there. Kyle Allen goes there. Priest Willis transfers there. Is this a big game from a recruiting standpoint for Todd, or is it just, look, we're going to lose players every year? You don't like to see the best players leave in the state if you're Todd Graham, but is recruiting really that big of a deal, an angle to you in this game?
I always think putting so much on one game when it comes to recruiting is a little bit overstated.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, if ASU loses tomorrow in Houston and then wins the next 10, I mean, you know, the fact that they lost that game, are they going to lose recruits to A&M for that? I don't think so. You know, just the fact, it's interesting just the fact that Kevin Sumlin has come in and taken Christian Kirk and Kyle Allen the last 2 years. That makes it a little bit more intriguing, and that he seemed to take a shot at Todd back in July. He's backed off a little bit of that now for that very reason. But I know Todd Graham wants to go to Texas. He wants to play well in Texas for obvious recruiting reasons. So I think it could benefit ASU, but I don't think it's going to, you know, change anybody's mind based on what happens on Saturday.
Okay, how big of a game is this for Todd Graham and his future? You know, yeah, he's here. He's paid off his house. He's committed to the stadium. I've read those quotes from Todd, but Todd is from Texas. And at some point in time, somebody from Texas is going to come after him, or Oklahoma, or someone in the Big 12. How important is this game just for Todd Graham?
It's interesting because people ask me that a lot, Brad. Is this Todd's last college job? And as of right now, I could see only four programs that would really be enticing to him. And he's never mentioned this, or you know, no one's ever pulled me aside and said this. But, you know, Texas, obviously. Oklahoma, obviously. Mm-hmm. Texas A&M would be one, just because, you know, he has said he grew up wanting to coach at Texas A&M. And then, of course, Notre Dame, just because it's Notre Dame. But, you know, I think it's big for him to kind of show that, you know, he's arrived on a big, at a big time level. And here in Arizona, he has, he's changed the program. He's lifted the, he's elevated the program. But I think nationally, people are still kind of saying like, yeah, that's the Pac-12. What can you do against the SEC? So I think if he could go in there into his home state, 90 miles from College Station, and beat a program, an SEC program like A&M, I think people would take him a little bit more seriously on the national level.
They've we're talking about Doug Haller for a couple of minutes. He is on the road, AZ Central Sports, Arizona State, Sun Devil Insider. He'll be there. All this content you can check out on AZ Central Sports. You know, the game itself, I love the scheduling that we've seen here the last few years, and they haven't overscheduled. For many, many years, I thought their scheduling was just abhorrent, just awful. And the reasoning was, well, we have all these tough games within the conference. Well, is this a one-game thing, or do you think that Ray and the powers that be at Texas A&M could look at extending this, or not extending it, starting a new deal? I would love to see this go back and forth.
Yeah, that would be great for ASU's program. I don't know if Texas A&M would have a lot of interest. I know, you know, Todd has mentioned that they tried to get a game back in at University of Phoenix Stadium between the two schools, and for whatever reason, that didn't work out. Mm-hmm. But you know that Ty Graham loves these types of games and kicking off the season. He likes the fact that it's kind of added a sense of urgency to the summer workouts. But yeah, I mean, just with A&M or any SEC school, if ASU could get involved, and we're going to see that later on with LSU in a couple years, I think it would benefit ASU's program for sure.
And before I let you go, is it being overstated about ASU? Berkovici is a Heisman candidate. Somebody said this last week. Kirk Herbstreit said that they're going to play in this in the CFP. I mean, do you see that top to bottom with this team?
My theory on that is that people initially like USC, and they're backing off that just because of some off-season developments that happened there. And, you know, ASU is an interesting dark horse pick. Now, are they a college football playoff contender? It's hard. I wouldn't put them in that category at this point yet. I think mm-hmm. they're more in kind of the 9-15 range.
Yep.
Certainly just right outside of that, could play themselves into that very easily. The Mike Berkovici Heisman talk is surprising, I will admit, given the fact that he's only started 3 games. But, you know, people like dark horses. They like to, you know, if Mike Berkovici has a great season and ends up winning the Heisman, then Pete Thamel's going to look really good and really smart. So, obviously, we need to see how Mike does, you know, with the offense under his control and, you know, doing it for a lot more than just 3 games. But, you know, I can't remember. You've been around this area a lot longer than I have, but I can't remember this type of preseason hype around an ASU football team.
Well, you'd have to go back probably to the 96 years because there were personalities there, you know. And I think, Doug, and you've seen this, Arizona State's done a much, much better job of getting their people out in the last few years. Like, it's just been told, let's get our kids and their stories out. And because of that, the Jordan Simonis and Berkovicis are pretty easy on the eyes when you put them on television and you put them in front of interviews and they comport themselves so well. So I think that that's added to the fact now that this is not just an NFL town or an NFL state. People may want to market it that way, but it's just not. So to have both football programs relevant, I think has helped Arizona State because it's helped in that rivalry year-round.
Yeah, and on that same note, you mentioned Berkovici and Jordan Simone and DJ Foster. They are 3 kids who have kind of embraced the moment as well, too. And, you know, there's nothing, you know, Mike's story is well known. DJ Foster, you're not going to find a better kid. And Jordan Simone being a walk-on, you know, to where he is now, possibly one of the better defensive backs in the Pac-12. You know, these kids, they all have great stories, but at the same time, they're the 3 hardest workers. If you go to practice, you know, Jordan Simone's the last one off the field. You know, Mike Berkovici is, you know, having conversations with Mike Norvell and Ty Graham 20 minutes after practice. DJ Foster is always around. He's embraced the moment. He was, you know, working on different things with Ty Graham with his alignment this week. I mean, you know, these guys talk the talk, but they actually back it up with what they do and their work ethic as well.
All right, I got to get you out of here on this one because people are sending me the notes. Who does Doug think that is going to win the game? I hate doing that to beat guys, but because they're asking, who's going to win?
It's part of the job. Brad, I'm going with Arizona State in a high-scoring game, 42-38, around that range. I really think Arizona State's going to be able to run the ball against Texas A&M. Texas A&M was not good at stopping the run last year. There is a wild card in John Chavis, their new defensive coordinator, who is so good at LSU. You know, he was there 6 years. The last 5 years, he had a top 15 rated defense. So I don't know what changes he's going to do. They do have top 25 talent on the offensive side, and I think we'll just have to wait and see what his influence is on that defense.
Safe travels. Appreciate the time as always, Doug. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad.
There's Doug Haller with us on the road, AZ Central Sports, Arizona State, college football columnist insider. Appreciate his time. Jimmy Vaccaro's next. It's time to check in with Jimmy on the start of the NFL season and all the college football. The wisest of the wise guys setting the lines in Vegas for almost 40 years now. Jimmy Vaccaro, that's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Great. Jimmy Vaccaro joins us now from Vegas. It's coming up on another season, South Point Sports, and you can check him out at southpointsports.com with Brad Sussmat, the great Jimmy Vaccaro. How are you, Jimmy?
Pretty good, my friend. And last night's any indicator went for a huge college season. The energy was surely there, and a lot of people surely showed up.
All right. So the games this weekend, let's start with Arizona State at Texas A&M. A lot of hype, a lot of buzz. What do you see in Vegas?
Arizona State, they're in for a tough out here. A&M's a three-point favorite, one up to 3.5. There's been some buyback on Arizona State. It's fairly obvious that even though it's a neutral site, this is going to favor Texas A&M only because of the proximity. But Arizona State, Texas A&M, I see both of them winning about 8 games for the year. But, you know, it's a good test for both teams early. But naturally, as we understand now, you know, if you're going to lose, lose early. But who wants to lose anytime?
That's it. Just ask Jim Harbaugh. Notre Dame, Texas.
Big movement here on both sides. What I mean by that, there was a lot of early money on Notre Dame, went as high as 12.5. Now we're back down to 11. Interesting game, obviously, as Charlie Strong now can't keep living off the name of Texas. He's got to start to show a little bit of results in Notre Dame. The Kelly guy has him going. I was sick. You know, say it obviously in a very, very good direction. Point spread is going to lay around at 10, 10.5. This should be a bookmaker's delight, Brad, as there'll be plenty of attention for both sides as we get close to game time tomorrow.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Resort, southpointsports.com. Check out all of his content. Wisconsin, Alabama.
Wow, big-time game early on. You just love these games as far as, like, people getting involved in it. Alabama, 10.5-point favorite. Money early on Alabama, but there's some wise guys taking Wisconsin. The interesting thing about this, Brad, the last time these two teams played was in 1929, so there's a lot of catching up to do here. But Wisconsin hopefully will be able to run the ball. Alabama, we all know, big question mark at quarterback. Should be entertaining.
Ohio State, Virginia Tech. Ohio State, Virginia Tech.
What a way to end the first week of the season. Here you have the team, the last team that they lost to was Virginia Tech in a huge upset last year. We know all about the quarterback situation. We know Beamer's team hasn't been as strong as they have in the last 4 or 5 years, but they're drawing some attention. Early money on Virginia Tech. We opened at 14, went as low as 10 after the suspensions were announced, but Ohio State has been slowly drawing money back from the general public. So this game will close 14 right where it opened come Monday night.
Jimmy Vaccaro from South Point, before I let you go, NFL. So Brady, what was the reaction when the Brady announcement was given yesterday in Vegas?
Well, first of all, we're just glad it's over and done with. We've been hopscotch with the number. Put it up, take it down, put it up, take it down. A lot of people want him to play next Thursday just for the idea of let's have the best on the field. And Roethlisberger and Brady, first game out of the gate is very good. Point adjustment. Now, naturally, the Patriots are a 7-point favorite. They were 2.5 and 3 if he wasn't going to play. So let's get started. He's a 7-point differential as far as the point spread is concerned.
And what do you see out of the Arizona Cardinals in Vegas this year, Jimmy?
There's a lot about what I consider people whom I trust about their opinion. It's been a two-way street. A lot of money early on the over. We're 9 over the favorite there, but then there's been some under money, too. It all comes down to your quarterback situation. Make no mistake about it. There's been times when Palmer's been on the money. There's been other times where it looks like I hate to use the word as a rookie, but that's what it is. They should be better. You have a coach I consider one of the top 5 coaches in the league, and you have some weakening there in your division. So I think it'll still show, but I don't think it's because of Palmer having a great year. I think it's the team having an upgraded year.
Last question for Jimmy Vaccaro. tomorrow, the team or teams in the NFL that are getting the most action leading into the start of the season?
Packers and Seattle, as far as ticket count to win it all. They seem to be the front leaders here. It's amazing, right? You have the Packers getting all the ticket count, a lot of small tickets, but they lost Jordy Nelson. Now it looks like they lose Carr for a while. It's all on Aaron Rodgers. He's the one that drives the team. No shift in the point spread without those two other starters in there because of respect from Rodgers. Simply, it's Seahawks and Packers drawing the most attention right now.
Stay well, Jimmy. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
There's Jimmy Vaccaro with us. Wisest of the wise guys, I like to say, from SouthPointSports.com and South Point Resorts. Appreciate Jimmy. Jimmy and I have been doing that for, gosh, I'm going to sound old here, but 30 years? Just bang right through it? Does it make me old, Jared Nielsen? I don't feel old. I don't know. So good. Just zip right through it. All right. You know, this came to my attention too, so, and I can't ask Jimmy about it, but the sports books in Vegas actually have the odds to win the 2016 Republican presidential nomination. That is so random. Hey, let's get a Bloody Mary. What do you think? You can't bet on these. That's for entertainment purposes only, but they're being handed out in Vegas. Well, yeah, let's get a Bloody Mary. And what's Huckabee at now? What's Marco Rubio at? Donald Trump, 20-1. Opening line, current line, 15-1. So when they say that football is all about blocking and tackling, and I say, no, it is all about gambling. I don't know, fantasy football, DraftKings, you tell me, right? Point spreads. You can have your team, that's fine, but we've really seen the whole this is my team stuff shift into, well, wait a minute, I can have a wide receiver from Jacksonville and a quarterback from Detroit and a running back from Cleveland, and I can just be completely caught up in this, and I can make money off of it. What are you talking about? I don't have a favorite team anymore. That's how I see it. On the other side, we're going to shift back over to the Cardinals from last night. Got some more thoughts on that and maybe what direction the roster is going to go. And on the college football scene this weekend, too. Sports360AZ.com. That is our site. We have plenty of content up on our site. It's Sports360AZ.com. Stuff that's unique and different. We don't just do who won and who lost. That's not us. It's never been us. You can go get that stuff a lot of places. But you want video, you want content that's unique and different, you can check out our site. And of course, our show is every day. You're on sports360az.com, and we partner with AZ Central Sports. It's a big Friday night ahead. It's always fun when the football weekend gets in full swing, because it actually started last night with the U of A game. And tonight we have the high school. Jared, I'm going to throw something at you that I didn't talk to you about during the break. If you can put that site up behind me or in front of me, just so I can show the site here a little bit. Something like we did in the TV show yesterday. So we have a hashtag on our site, and that last couple of weeks has been trending. It's always cool when it trends. It means that there's lots of you that are seeing it and you're getting it out there. We had the number two trending hashtag last Friday night with our high school platform. And so we've got guys like Jordan that are out, and there's the hashtag Friday night 360AZ. When you're out at high school games tonight, Jordan Hamm's out, Jared Cohen is out, Andrew Liberta's out, Big Andy. Eric will head out from time to time. I'll head out from time to time. All that we're looking for is that hashtag. If you're at a game, it doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter. If you want your team to get some sort of attention on a Friday night, it doesn't matter if it's a Division 5 8-man game. I don't care. Just put the score of where you are. Don't make up scores. I hate that. And put that hashtag along with it, and we'll see if we can get this thing trending. We were number two last week. We were number four the week before. It was just something we started. The good people over at Shamrock Farms and Rock and Refuel are making up some T-shirts that we're going to send out to high school games. We may start doing that on the site. Like, you pick a game you want our crew to go out to. If you've got a high school, it doesn't matter where it is in the state. You know, if it's too far away, I'll just send some shirts up if we decide that it's worth it. You know, I will. Or I'll tell Eric to drive up there. Or Jared Nielsen, you can drive up there. If it's Alchisea and they want some shirts, you know, we'll find a way to get a shirt or two or three. Maybe on a pack mule. I don't know. But in all seriousness, the Friday Night 360 AZ hashtag, have some fun with that. And the site itself, if you've not been into the site in a while, we've had some site changes. And some of you have noticed it. And yeah, it's cool. And we just zip right through a lot of stories. And that's the site right now. And you can just see it and click on it. Sports360AZ.com. Go back up to the top there, Jared. If you go back up to the top there, and you can just see that we zip right through things. And there's a lot of video that's attached to it. And the previews on games and all that stuff. And five things we learned. Jared was down at U of A last night with some video if you're looking for stuff there. So, and you can always submit stories to us as well. We're going to start taking video submissions. And the whole thing on this is we made it very organic. I said to the guys from day number one, I don't care if one click comes in on day number one. I'm not chasing clicks on this. If I'm chasing clicks, all I'm going to do is the same old stuff that everybody else is chasing. Okay? And that's just not me. I did the rodeo at television. I did the rodeo on radio, and this is a lot more fun. So I'm just encouraging you guys to be part of the movement here that we call it and have some fun with it. Doesn't matter where your high school is. Just use that hashtag tonight and pass it on to your friends. We'll have a couple of high school games that are streamed tonight. One of the things that we do that's really cool is we partner with the Chandler School District and their broadcast classes. The kids do the play-by-play. We stream those broadcasts through sports360az.com. So the kids get the opportunity. We go out and mentor those kids at those games if they ask for it. I'll even go to a school and sit down with these kids and say, so you want to be in broadcasting, huh? And it's funny, how many kids want to be actors and rappers that are athletes, and how many rappers and actors that want to be athletes? You know, you flip it around. So on the broadcast end, it's cool. We had a girl do the play-by-play last week on the Basha High stream that was really good. She was really good. I'm not saying because it was a girl. It was her first time. So imagine you guys are sitting there at your desk jobs and you're miserable and you're getting through your day with me and I'm making you miserable because now I'm making you think a little bit that, man, I'd give anything to do the play-by-play of a high school football game, and Brad's got it on his site. And yeah, that's what we do. We'll do junior college if people have the opportunity to shoot us a stream. We'll put it up. I don't care. It's just about it's about aggregation, having some fun. So that's on the business side. It seems to me today that looking at Twitter and also just in my inbox, that most of you think that Darnell Dockett still has gas left in the tank. I, on the other hand, tend to look at it and say, no, he's a very popular Cardinal, very proud Cardinal, a link to the past of the Super Bowl team. But he was released this morning by the 49ers. And immediately it's, well, now that he's free, they should bring him back here. He was paid $2 million from the 49ers. I'm not saying that he's not somebody that as the season goes along, that I don't pick up the phone and say, what do you have left in the tank? Because look, the injuries, this league is just so brutal. The Cardinals would have to put him on a list, somewhere on the list. Maybe at the bottom of the list, maybe in the middle of the list. But Steve Keim's got to have a list. And his group has that Terry McDonough, they've got to have a list. And when the injuries happen, because they're going to happen, that's just a name now that he has been released and said bye-bye by the 49ers that you would have to look at and consider. So Bruce Arians will meet with the media at 11:30. I don't know if he's going to make his cuts today or not. He's already started blowing some guys out, but to this point, there hasn't been any surprises in my opinion, but so Bruce Arians at 11:30. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Plenty of content up on our site throughout the weekend. Again, Eric is down in Houston with Arizona State. We'll get the latest on Scooby Wright, the linebacker with U of A, and the loss there, the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year, and how long he'll be out. Just keep checking back on the site. I'm Brad Susmat.